Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Celebrate Our God-Given Freedom and Faith While Honoring Our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. So great to have you with me. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you can stick around for the entire show. Today, as we approach Pentecost Sunday, this is a big deal. We started talking about the Holy Spirit on last week's program, but today we are even closer. I want to focus on the fruits of the Holy Spirit as detailed in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. When you think about some of these fruits, two of them that come to mind are peace and joy. Can you imagine for a minute what your life would be like if you were at complete peace and filled with joy? That's what we all strive for, correct? So if we're able to harness the Holy Spirit, who dwells in each of us, by the way, when we're baptized and when we're confirmed, we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit strengthened in us. We've got the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we just need to wake the Holy Spirit up so that he can work in our lives. We're going to talk about that on the program today. And when you hear how simple it is, you're going to think, wait a minute, Gary, there's got to be more to it than that. Actually, there doesn't. It's very simple to get the Holy Spirit working in your life. We're going to talk about that on the program. One thing I want to mention, and first of all, thank you for your comments about the program. Thank you for getting the word out. I'm so grateful for all of the Catholic radio stations around the country who are carrying the program now, in addition to the show being available on iTunes and Podbean and TuneIn Radio and so many different podcast outlets. The word is getting out about the program. I thank you. Please do me a favor. Tell a friend about the Gary Zimak Show. The purpose of this show is to bring hope to those who need it. You know, so many of us, we struggle through life. We may not be officially hopeless, but man, we sure might feel like it sometimes. We might feel discouraged or really beaten down. The Lord doesn't want that. He wants us to be at peace. And if we follow him, and again, today we'll talk about how the Holy Spirit can help us. If we follow him each day, we are going to have that peace and that hope that he wants us to have. So if you could help me spread the word about this program, I'd be very grateful. One of the things that I've been doing is putting out on my Facebook page for the Gary Zimak Show. If you haven't liked it, head on over there. Make sure you do that. I've been requesting prayer intentions. So if you know somebody or if you yourself want me to pray for you on the air, the Gary Zimak Show on Facebook is the place to go. If you're not on Facebook, you can also send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, because I'm getting so many requests, I can't include them all, but they're on Facebook. So if you put your comments on Facebook, you'll not only have me praying for your needs on the air, and again, I might not mention you by name, but you're going to have other people praying for you when they see your intentions. And of course, you know, God knows what you need. I don't need to mention them specifically, but I figure that if I get your intentions out there and other people can see them as well, you're going to get a lot of people praying for you. So make sure you head on over to the Gary Zimak Show page on Facebook or send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com and I'll pray for your needs on the air. So with that in mind, let's turn to Almighty God in prayer and let's not downplay this. Sometimes I think we do. We downplay the fact that we are about to talk to the creator of the universe, not just now, but you could do that any time of the day or night. And he's always going to listen. And he's almighty. He's all powerful and he loves you. This is an incredible privilege. So let's take advantage of that privilege. Pray constantly. Whenever you can, instead of panicking about your problems, turn to the Lord and ask for prayer. It's an incredible gift that we have. So right now, in addition to all of our usual intentions, I want you to remember, if you could, these individuals in prayer. Anne is asking for prayers to sell her house. Robin is asking for prayers for her friend Linda, who is battling lung cancer, and now they are suspecting she has brain cancer as well. Maria is asking for prayers for those who always wish ill to others. Debbie is asking for prayers for healing, and a few more that came in that I want to mention as well. Kathy is asking for prayer for all families, friends, and communities divided over the right to natural life and death issues. Also, Lourdes is asking for prayers for her special intentions. Petra is asking for prayers for the desires of her heart. Bridget is asking for healing prayers. Debbie is asking for healing for ringing in her ears. And Maria is asking for prayers for peace in the Philippines. So please remember all these individuals. If you remember one or two names, please keep them in mind as we begin. And we also ask the Lord to hear the prayers for all of these people. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, wow, what a great honor it is to be able to speak to you in prayer. Father, we know that whenever we turn to you in prayer, even before we begin speaking, you're excited. You're very pleased because you love us, and you always are thrilled when we turn to you in prayer because you want us to have this kind of a relationship with you, that when we come to you, we know that we make you happy. So, Father, it's so good to be in your presence once again today. Thank you for giving us another day of life. Every day that we live is a reminder of just how much you love us. Father, I present to you all of those intentions that I just read for all of those people who listen to the program. I present to you all of the intentions that remain in the silence of our hearts. Father, I ask you to speak through me on the show today. When I speak about the gifts of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, please guide my words so that I can deliver the message that you have planned for us. Father, I ask you to please help anyone who is suffering today, anyone who is dealing with discouragement, who might be feeling hopeless, who might be on the verge of despair. I ask you, Father, to pour your love into their hearts so that they know you care and so that they know that any problem they face is solvable, because with you all things are possible. Father, I ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, there we go. Very simple. We mention the intentions, then we talk to our Heavenly Father and ask in Jesus' name for these intentions. And again, it makes him happy when we do that. It's kind of amazing, isn't it, when we think of the fact that God loves us so much that he gets excited when we turn to him and speak with him. We forget that sometimes. We think, I'm very insignificant, nobody cares about me. But God created you. He knows everything about you, and he really wants to hear from you today. So make sure that you do that frequently throughout the day. Instead of worrying, just turn to him, throw up a prayer, and say, Lord, help me with this problem. And by the way, Lord, thank you for giving me another day of life. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for letting me have a car, a roof over my head. Thank you for letting me have a job, my family, whatever it may be. And if you want, and this is tough, but it's powerful, say, Lord, thank you for the crosses that you send into my life today, because I realize that through these crosses, I can grow closer to you. I know that's hard. That's hard to say sometimes, but the crosses he gives us are designed to help us get to heaven. And also, when we offer up our suffering, when we offer up our suffering and unite it with the suffering of Christ on the cross, we get to share in his mission of redeeming the world. And that's an unbelievable privilege. St. Paul got this. And in Colossians 1:24, he talks about this, how we, through our suffering, complete the suffering of Christ. And that does not mean that Christ's suffering on the cross was incomplete. What it means is, as members of the church, we're part of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. So therefore, each one of us have a role to play in the redemption of the world, because in union with Christ, we have our own suffering to offer up on the cross. It's kind of a complicated process. We don't need to understand the nitty-gritty details. All we need to know is that when we offer up our sufferings, no matter how small they are, you could be sitting in traffic, you could be struggling at work, you may be dealing with a situation that isn't pleasant in the office, you might be listening to the story of somebody who is boring you to tears. We've all been there. I think some of the people in my life have been on the receiving end of being bored to tears with my stories. But you can offer up just a quick prayer in your mind. Lord, I offer this up. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to be patient. I do it for you. It has unbelievable, there's unbelievable merit in doing that. So keep that in mind. Offer up your suffering. It's an incredible gift for us to be able to do that. Quick reminder, if you want to connect with me online, you could do that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. I would love to speak at your parish or your conference. If you have something you'd like me to come in and speak and give one of my talks, Stop Worrying and Start Living, or maybe next year, Give Up Worry for Lent. They're some of my most popular talks. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to get in touch with me. So much going on at the website, all of my books. You can connect with me over at Patheos, where I'm now blogging. You can read me in the National Catholic Register. I'm trying to get into to branch into as many areas as I possibly can, because I really believe in this message, the message that Christ wants to share in our daily lives, and he wants to give us hope. And that's why I do this program. That's why I do everything that I do. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, so I said I'm going to speak about the fruits of the Holy Spirit as detailed by St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians. Pentecost Sunday. Sometimes this is frustrating, but boy, I have done this throughout my life. We ignore the Holy Spirit, or we don't understand the Holy Spirit's role. We get the fact that we have a Father in heaven who loves us. We get the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth. He took on human form so that he could lead us to the Father and he could redeem us by dying on the cross for us. That's okay, right? But then you throw the Holy Spirit in the mix. The Holy Spirit, who appears in the form of a dove or fire or the wind, we're told that we should have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what the church encourages us to do. The Holy Spirit is God. But boy, the Holy Spirit plays second fiddle. Actually, the Holy Spirit plays third fiddle, if I'm being accurate, because it's hard to have a relationship with a spirit, isn't it? But the Holy Spirit is the gift sent to us by Jesus. I talked about this on last week's show. When Jesus was preparing to ascend into heaven, he said, it's better that I leave you, because if I don't leave, you will not receive the Paraclete, or the Spirit, to help you, who to remind you or to lead you to all truth. So when we come to the difficult challenges in life, the Holy Spirit, who dwells inside of us, is given to us by Jesus to assist us in dealing with these tricky situations, when it's tough to be patient, when we don't know what to do, when we're feeling down and we need to be uplifted. The Holy Spirit, that's his job. And that's why Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. Jesus never said, I'm ascending into heaven. I hope you took good notes. I'm going to give you a Bible to lead you. He never said that. Sure, we have sacred scriptures, but we need something more, because we can't do it by willpower alone. I've tried and I've failed so many times. I spent most of my life not understanding the Holy Spirit. It's only recently that I've started to appreciate the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm writing a new book about the Holy Spirit right now, and it's really been an eye-opening experience for me to learn about the Holy Spirit. So I thought we would start with the fruits. We'll talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit today. You've heard of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, again, first at baptism, and then that gift is strengthened at confirmation, we have the Holy Spirit and all of his gifts. But oftentimes the gifts get a little confusing. wisdom, knowledge, understanding. What's the difference? You ever been there and tried to figure that out? There's a series of gifts. I'm not going to go into them all today. But rather than look at the gifts, let's look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul lists them. And when you hear these fruits, you may have heard them before, but I think you're going to have a strong desire to really let the Holy Spirit work in your life. And then before the show's over, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Because as you hear this list, if you're at all like me, you're going to say, wait a minute. Are you sure I have the Holy Spirit? What the heck went wrong with my baptism or confirmation? Because I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling these fruits every day. But if the Holy Spirit is really working in your life, this is what you're going to look like. This is what your life can be described as. If somebody were to describe you, somebody said, tell me about Gary Zimek. Could these fruits apply to your life, right? Let me read them now and then we'll talk about it. But there is an easy way, an easy suggestion that I have for you, and I'll give you that at the end of the before the end of the program, for when you look at these gifts or these fruits and say, no, this is not me. There's an easy way to fix that. It's a process. It won't happen overnight, but you will see changes. All right, so let's look at the fruits first and then we'll talk more about them. My goal right now is to make you really desire these fruits to be apparent or evident in your life. Galatians, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. St. Paul lists the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You ready? Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me read that list again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can you imagine living your life with all of these fruits being evident so that when somebody looks at you, they notice, wow, Gary is peaceful. Gary's filled with joy. And man, does he love other people. He's so patient. He's so kind. I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm looking at my own life and I'm thinking, no way, Jose, but I need to get better at this. He's so patient. He's always in control. His self-control, man, it's so apparent. Hey, I have a hard time turning away from the donuts because I love sweets. It's not easy for me. And it's not easy for me to turn away from sin. I struggle with this, especially when I want to get the last word in or be right in an argument. I struggle with this all the time. I'm not saying I have this mastered. I am getting better at it. But again, there's a secret to this. How about being at peace? How about being filled with joy? You wake up in the morning and you say, you know what? I am glad to be alive. It's raining outside. My body's making some funny noises. My bones are creaking, but it's okay. I am filled with joy. I know that almost seems radical. It almost seems possible. Peace in the midst of adversity. You're struggling with all kinds of problems, and you say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm at peace. Wouldn't you love to be there? How about love? This is the one that I struggle with a lot of these, but love can be difficult for me. It's very easy for me to love people who are nice to me and whom I might have a natural tendency to love, my wife, my children. And to be honest with you, that's not always easy. It's not always easy to love people, especially when they begin to get on your nerves. But let's break this down a little bit and talk about this. First of all, love is a conscious decision. It's not a feeling. That's the trouble with the message that we get in the world today. We start to think love is a feeling. Love is not a feeling. However, love is a decision. Love is, I have been told, I have been commanded by Jesus to love even my enemies. All right, what does that mean? That means I have to want what's best for them. I can pray for them. I don't have to become close friends with somebody who is constantly trying to belittle me or say negative things to me. I don't have to be best buddies with that person, but I am called to love them, which means I need to wish what's best for them. I need to want what's best for them. I pray for them. If possible, I do something for them. I say something nice to them. You know, there's, but again, there are limits, and the Lord understands that. Now, the however to this is, we are only going to get so far by consciously willing to love the people who drive us crazy. On a bad day, we're going to finally say, I have had it. I don't want to be nice to this person. I don't want to pray for them because they get on my last nerve. I'm sure you've been there. And that's what affects me. There are people in my life who drive me crazy. They're just not easy to deal with. Mother Angelica talked about the fact, and I love this line, that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that Christianity would be easy if it wasn't for other people, right? It's very easy to take our prayer book, to sit where it's quiet, to go off into a corner or into a church and pray, but it's very difficult to love God by dealing with people each day because we're going to run into people who drive us crazy. So love is a conscious decision. However, we need to have some sort of affection for everybody we meet. Unless, and if we don't, we're going to run into, again, a bad day and not want to love them and physically just give up and say, I'm not praying for this person. I'm not going to be nice to them. I'm going to tell them what I think of them. How do we do that? How do I love somebody that drives me crazy? Well, what we can do is make a conscious decision through the help of the Holy Spirit. Again, remember, these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit working in you to help you love that person. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you think of good qualities about this person. You might only think of one. You might think of two, but you can get there. That's the goal. That's what we should try to do. Okay, this person is very intelligent. This person was created by God in God's image and likeness. And you work with yourself that way, and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you so that eventually you, if you are docile to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to love that person. And you might even get to the point, you should get to the point where you can actually feel some affection for that person. It might be a teeny tiny bit, but it might be something. And this is how the Holy Spirit can work in you. Look for something good about that person. And we've all got that list of one or two people, you may have more, who are very difficult to love. Pray for the grace and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the grace to find something good about that person. Something. And then pray about it and let that lead you to love that person even more. And it's going to be easier when you do that. And remember, when the Holy Spirit is working in you, you will have a greater desire to love, to be at peace, to be filled with joy, to have self-control, to be patient, to be kind, to be good, to be faithful. We're not going to be able to do this on our own. That's why these fruits of the Holy Spirit are not the fruits of your willpower and your working hard. They're the fruits of you cooperating with the grace given to you by the Holy Spirit. In other words, getting out of the way of the Holy Spirit so that you can be more filled with love, filled with joy, filled with peace, have self-control, be patient. And let's talk about some of these because these are difficult for so many of us to deal with. We talked about love. That's challenging. How about joy? What are the obstacles to joy? Well, again, bad weather. I'm feeling a little off today. I don't want to work. I want to go on vacation. I don't want to stay home because my family's driving me crazy. I want to do my own thing. I want to enjoy myself. I don't want to serve other people today. How can I be filled with joy? Well, once the Holy Spirit starts working in you, then you're going to say such things as, listen, I woke up today and I'm starting to feel joyful because Jesus Christ loved me so much that he came to earth, he became man, so he could die on the cross and rise from the dead in order to open up the gates of heaven for me. With Jesus by my side, I'm joyful. I'm filled with joy because Jesus is a part of my life. And the Holy Spirit will help you to think like this. How about peace? I'm at peace because I've asked the Lord to take away this cross in my life, and the Lord's not taking away the cross. Therefore, I know that somehow he wants me to go through with this, and I'm also going to offer it up and unite my suffering to his suffering. So therefore, I'm at peace. I've done what I can, and now I'm trusting the Lord. How about patience? Here's the funny thing about patience. Not only are we impatient if we're sitting in traffic, or we're standing at the checkout line and there's too many people in front of us, or somebody's telling a story that's too long, right? I mean, we get affected by these things. How about when we get impatient with God? Here's the scenario. I was talking about this with a friend of mine the other day. We're praying for something, and we're praying, and we're praying, and it goes on for days or months or maybe even years. Then one day we wake up and we decide that that's it. Lord, I've given you enough time for this. I have lost my patience. This is it. I'm not putting up with this anymore. We get mad at him. It goes on and on and on. Now, it's okay to get mad at God. It really is. It's okay to have that kind of a relationship where you tell him what's on your mind. That's the way you're going to grow closer to him. But we become, it's funny, we set the time limit. I've waited for 1 year and 3 days, and now I'm fed up. It took thousands of years for the Savior to come to earth, right? God's got his own schedule. Can you imagine learning to be patient with God? That would be a good thing. The Holy Spirit can help you with that. I know it sounds funny to lose your patience with God, but we do it all the time. How about faithfulness? God's always faithful. God is always there. He's good for his word. How about us? I'm going to try to pray more. I'm going to try to get to confession more. I'm going to go to daily mass. I'm going to read the Bible. And then you wake up, I'm tired. There's a TV show on I want to watch. We are so unfaithful when it comes to God. But the Holy Spirit can help us to be faithful. Self-control. I mentioned the donuts thing. How about keeping your mouth shut when you want to yell at somebody? That's another one of my weaknesses. I'm pretty transparent here. You can see that I've got a lot of flaws, and I'm trying to let the Holy Spirit work with me. The Holy Spirit can help us with all of these things so that our life can be described as being filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do we do that? Three simple words. Start praying this often and every day. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence. The Holy Spirit is in you, but the Holy Spirit needs to be stirred up. That's the deal. And that's where we make the mistake. When you pray, come Holy Spirit, then thank the Lord for sending you his Spirit. Thank you. Because when you pray Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be active and will be activated in your life. You got to believe that. Believe it by faith, okay? Start doing that. We're just about out of time. That's the key to getting these fruits working in your life. And remember, you can find the list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. So again, we are just about out of time. If you need anything, please reach out to my website, followingthetruth.com. I would love it if you could help me fund my mission by making a donation at the website, followingthetruth.com. I'd be very grateful. If you have emails, you can contact me through the website. Thanks again for listening to the program. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimek reminding you that wherever you go, whatever you do, don't be discouraged or afraid, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'll see you next time on The Gary Zimek Show.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.